Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord God, just bringing us together, Lord, virtually or
Yes,
however it works, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can come
Lord.
together and learn from your word, Lord, that we would open our hearts, Lord, to the things you would have us to learn and to see how to apply those in our individual lives, Lord, that we would grow closer with you and closer to your word. And we just open ourselves up now to you. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
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 Well, since we don't have too many people tonight, we may be doing a bit differently and try to, specifically maybe deal with some of the same things that each person is working on or, trying to work on. And have them kind of interactive, but we see the way it goes. Okay, so we have been talking about this idea of, the fact that outreach doesn't happen by chance, but doesn't happen by, just like that by itself. It happens by a combination of the person outreaching and the work of the Holy Spirit on them and on the person that you come in contact with. That's kind of the general idea that we have been looking at. Okay, you cannot save anybody, but the Lord can use you to minister to them, to show things and to help the Holy Spirit to get across to them. Because many people do not realize that the Holy Spirit is doing the work. They remain superficial in their interaction with God. And some of them, if they don't even are not born again, they're not even, really born again. So their spirit is dead yet. But the Holy Spirit can talk to everybody. That's the first basic concept that we had to realize. That doesn't mean everybody gets the same thing. Doesn't mean everybody hears the right things. But, everything that we hear, we understand, is determined by the things we heard and understood before. If people have been hearing wrong doctrines or wrong ideas, they're going to be distorting whatever the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them. Okay, so we have to start from that, I suppose. But the bottom line is that, you are not the only one working on them or with them. Actually, the most important one is the Holy Spirit himself, because he's the one working on everybody. And so that's kind of making a bit, different in the sense of it's not just you doing something. It's you participating in something that God is doing. And he's been working on these people from when they were created. And if they haven't got there yet, there is somewhere or another some form of resistance to hear and to receive. It could be just ignorance by the fact that they have not been exposed, may have been just exposed to the wrong thing, exposed to just mostly religion and turn them off, or exposed to wrong teaching and or wrong people and hurt them or whatever. The bottom line is that doesn't matter what, God is working on them, and that's the thing that you had to come to realize. You are not the only thing that they are exposed to in terms of getting closer to the Lord. And the thing you have to do is mostly to pick up or to perceive what God is doing, so that you can give him, you can give God a hand. It seems sound funny, but that's really what it is, because they, you know, he needs a person to talk to them and to minister to them and to do this, because they cannot evidently connect very, very well with a spirit yet. Okay, so they need the help. And you become the physical help that they need to receive things from the spiritual dimension. Okay? That's is an important idea that we have to get. And it can help us in terms of the attitude that we have, in terms of the thing we try to do. And, you know, the thing is, we are never prepared, really, because we don't know, unless the Holy Spirit showed to us, you know, we don't know exactly what was going to happen. They're going to ask questions that we may have not a clue on what to say, or we answer way or to say things that actually mess up instead of improving the situation. And that's happened to everybody. So, you know, the thing is, what we had to do is learn from the mistake we make, so that we, you know, essentially must try to, you know, doesn't matter if we score all the way, you know, to base, you know, the get them saved, but do we make some progress? We help them to progress toward getting closer to God. That's our objective. Okay? Because even if we, you know, took a little step, that's already better than we did some, making them regress even more. Okay, so that's really what we had to believe, and we had to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to minister to them. So, but that doesn't happen just poof like that. That happens as a result of our position, on our desire, or our decisions, and lots of things. There are lots of factors coming into the picture that we have to understand, and part of that is planning. Okay, I asked you to start developing. How many started to develop a plan to outreach?
I stopped.
Good, good. All right, one. Well, I'll go. Not too many. Anyway, so the idea is that two, maybe. Okay. The point what I'm saying is, you know, start to work on the things that you can, because there are some things that you may not be able to at the moment. But if you start working on some things, you're going to start to make some progress, and you change. So that's what we have to start doing. You know, some of the things we have already said, you know, start identify the people that the Lord put in your heart, or in your mind, or in your path, or in your neighborhood, in terms of, area of influence that comes to you, that you could do something, and yet you know that they need to get closer to the Lord. And, you know, they could be in many places. Some people can be saved even, but they are just people don't go to church, don't fellowship with anybody, don't do anything. They need to be helped. They need to be corrected. But not by simple correction that you're wrong. You just they need some example and some instruction, and you can contribute to that. It's not just always, you know, to get them saved or whatever, because that salvation is a progress anyway, no matter what. It's not just to say a prayer. Salvation is something that starts the moment when you, you know, want to connect with Jesus and end when you die. Because, you know, and continues even later on, because you're going to be completely saved when and Jesus coming back. So the idea is that, you know, you have to see all the different people that come to your mind that and have direction from the Lord on who to minister to. Okay. But the basis of all this, and the basis of all planning that I'm talking about, is actually prayer, communion with God. This is where the plan should come out from. If your communion with God and receiving the direction and the understanding that we need to deal with different people. Okay. This is why it's important that you start putting people down. And maybe, you know, after a while, the Lord tells you, you know, just take those people off. Or you start ministering to them and you see, no, this is a waste of time, or this I shouldn't be doing it. Or, you know, you just learn by actually doing. And you start, you know, doing something. But the point is, you know, if you follow Jesus, then you are going to have the same motivation that he had and the same heart that he had. He said very clearly, you come and follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. Okay, so the idea that you can be used by God, that God has a plan for you to reach out and to minister and to accept that idea and to embrace that idea, to really respond to the call that every believer should have if they are really connected with God. Every believer should want to reach out. That doesn't mean every believer is going to do it the same way. Every believer is going to do with the same type of people or whatever. But the point is, your desire should be not just for religious things, because that is the way you're going to get your brownie point with God, is because you want to please God. And God is pleased when other people get closer to him. And if you can be the channel for that to take place, that is certainly something that is pleasing him about you. And if you please God, you're not going to be unrewarded for it. But you don't do it for that, you do it for him. To please him, to do what, you know, that's why he gave us the Great Commission. The Great Commission is nothing else than telling us the things that he wants us to do. And in doing that, as we have been seeing already, what happens is that since you cannot do it in the flesh, since you cannot do it in a religious way, you're going to just create more religious people. Since you have to do it in the spirit, what's going to happen is that you are going to have to connect with the Holy Spirit, and by itself, that is going to give you a different perspective of receiving from the Holy Spirit, because it's not anymore a personal interest type of thing, it's for somebody else. So you are actually receiving things from God from somebody else. So it's not selfish-centered, like for anything that you may have that you need from God or whatever, which God doesn't mind. God wants to help you, but that helps you to actually learn to hear better, you know, for even the things you need yourself. So that's the verse of prayer, and we're going to see some scripture on prayer. But prayer gives us, you know, the understanding, about, you know, how to go about the direction, or who to talk to, what to say to them, how to minister to them, how we, you know, so lots of different things. Give us also the motivation to do it, because we, you know, hear, receive from the Holy Spirit, we start actually, you know, interacting with the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. And so we learn things, we grow, and we see God working supernaturally in ways that we otherwise would have never seen, because He is interested. Because when you can see, when you start actually doing it, you can see that God is really interested, because He is going to work much more powerfully than when you're trying to get things for yourself. I mean, things are going to happen more easily, because that doesn't mean for everybody or for everything, you know, but when you are really doing God's way and God's work, He's going to do it, and you are going to just there being, you know, participating in the process, and even being surprised of how much He does. Okay? So, the idea is prayer should be the platform from which you operate. Okay? But prayer, the results of prayer should be understanding, should be direction, should be motivation, should be courage, or you know, the ability to do it. And all, if you don't put in prayer, and also, you know, prayer, and also scriptures, you know, being in the scriptures, seeing what the scriptures say, so let them scripture minister to, you know, what God wants in those areas. And as you read through, you can see that it's all over the place. And then, you know, the whole thing is starting to move better. Okay. And, you know, God doesn't just want us to do it and get nowhere. God wants us to produce fruit, produce results, you know, and have an impact on other people. That's why we want, you know, He wants to reach out to them, and by, you know, by themselves, they may have difficulty in doing it because they don't know. They probably have wrong ideas and need to be changed. But that's what your influence can produce, not your manipulation, not your pushing or so on. You can't control anybody. You should not control anybody. And actually, trying to control people is witchcraft and is not evangelism. It's their decision. And they have to come to that decision. And to come to that decision is their decision, not yours. But to, you know, that means they want it, based on the right motives, based on, you know, them to start to see God in the right light. And most people don't, not even Christians. It's almost an exception that people see, the Christians see God in the right light, on the right, they have a right understanding about what and who God is, and the way it works. But not only that, but also start to be able to see the way, you know, God loves them, and the way He cares about them, and the way, you know, they have to relate that by the way you care about them, and you, you know, love them. Which sometimes is more difficult than other time. So that's a starting point. So I want to suggest that we start to do some actual application, some actual implementation, because otherwise we're going to get nowhere. And I'm just going to go around circles talking about theory instead of really, you know, seeing results. And after a while, we are just wasting our time. So one of the things that we had to do, although we have only few today, is to make a commitment about praying so that we can get direction to make the plan that God wants for our life. The way, you know, you have to see the way, for example, you feel what you feel comfortable about doing, what you are prepared to do, and what you actually know, and what you actually had to learn. So you see, there are lots of things that you can ask God to show you so that he can help you along, because you need help. Okay? Everybody needs help. We cannot do it in the flesh. We cannot do it on our own. And unfortunately, most of the time, that's what really happens, and the results are not very good. You know, people think, oh, I had to go out and, you know, bring people to the Lord on the street. I think that doesn't work, as I've been working for the last 50 years. No matter what anybody says, anybody that has really been involved in evangelism and outreach effectively will tell you the same thing. The other ones are just people that go back on the religious way that were working maybe in the early 1900s and, you know, maybe until maybe the 50s and so on, but yeah, I've been working since then. I know it myself when, you know, I came to the Lord, already people were telling the things I was not saying. And I picked them up, and when I was doing it, I was doing exactly that way. I was getting results. Anyway, so how many would want to make a commitment for that? Okay. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray together. I mean, that we may, you know, when we make a commitment and we do nothing, and I'm going to make a commitment, what you have to do is ask God to help us. This is a spiritual step to take. Now, we have to realize that the enemy doesn't like it. Okay. And he puts all the possible hindrances for you to make the commitment to first place and then to follow through. Now, one of the topics we are going to touch soon, I think tonight, because I'm not prepared yet, is really dealing with the hindrances to outreach. There are some ideas, there are some thoughts, there are some demonic blockages that stop people from actually doing it. It will stop people from doing it effectively. Okay. You can do it physically and get nowhere and think that you are really doing something, when instead, not much gets done. And you go because you have obeyed the things you believe in. Not that everything that we believe in is going to produce result. Okay. Faith is believing the things that God says, not the things we believe. Now, so let's pray together about making a commitment, okay? And allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us in this area. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for tonight. And thank you, Lord, that we know that it's your desire for us to reach out to others and to be witnesses of Jesus, to share the gospel and to bring them, Lord, into the kingdom. Lord, that we may, Lord, be able to do this effectively Lord, and we need your help for that. We need the Holy Spirit guidance, Lord, for us to do it, Lord, in such a way that the seed that we plant are going to grow, Lord, are going to produce fruit. We ask you, Lord, that you give us direction and understanding. We ask you, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to know, bring it to our mind, you know, bring to our heart people that are in our way, people that we come in contact with, people that are in our area of influence, people that, Lord, don't know you or that you have been, Lord, already working on them, and you want us to continue to help, Lord, the work to grow, to take root, and to produce fruit. We just thank you, for we know that you promised that you would help us in this way. We know that you said it, you know, that as we are praying according to your will, you are going to answer our prayer. And we ask you, Lord, that you open our eyes so that we may not look at things in the physical, but we may look at things and people in the spiritual, Lord, spiritual dimension. See their place, see their position, see their heart, see the areas in which they need ministry, so that we may be able to carry on the work that you're already doing. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that your desire is to bring everyone to repentance, everyone, Lord, to know and to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, it may appear that there is so much to work to do, and but we are not called to do everything. We are called to do certain things, the things that you bring to us, so that we have the opportunities that you give us to be part in the work that you're carrying out already on earth. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for having called us out of the world into this kingdom already. And Lord, we ask you that you and me may be able to bring others into the kingdom. Bring them, Lord, your children. Bring about in them the changes, the transformation, the empowering, the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, everything that is needed. That we may be able to receive all these things to the larger extent before, to empower us to do the work you're calling us to do. So we just praise you and thank you in advance, and we make a commitment today, Lord, to spend time in prayer, spend time in fellowshipping with you and reading the word and allowing the word to minister to us in this area so that, Lord, we may prepare ourselves to do the work you're calling us to do. For this is for every believer. You're calling us to share what we have, because by sharing what we have, Lord, we give to others, and we are even more blessed than when we receive from us, from ourselves. Lord, there are rewards that comes to those that are obedient to you. Even if at times this is difficult, even if at times we get rejected, even if at times, Lord, we appear to get nowhere. Lord, let those seeds we plant, Lord, take roots in the people, because we did it through the Holy Spirit, who enabled us to see where and how to minister life to them. We just praise and thank you for the things you're going to do, and believe, Lord, that as we make this commitment today, and we are going to start to regularly, Lord, apply ourselves in this area, that you are going to, Lord, multiply our efforts, and you're going to make us successful in what you're calling us to do. And we thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, anybody has any comments or anything they would like to add or ask?
The prayer platform that you mentioned before, from which we operate, this is a prayer that we do alone to prepare ourselves before we meet people. Eh? Yeah,
that's we do it not just before, we do regularly.
Yeah,
to, you know, build ourselves up for the call and to respond to the call. Yeah.
Okay.
That's but what essentially what we do is ask for direction. We ask for anointing. We ask. Okay. We are going to see a number of. Is it? We have to do it in the right attitude. Okay. Right. We are not the one that saves them. We are just messengers.
Yeah.
You know, we are just the one that share witnesses. We have been there. We have experienced the Lord. We have, known. You know, what it's like. And so we share what we have known and seen and heard. And, it's not us, it's him. And all the things that we do right come from him. So there is an attitude there of humility, not a better than thou attitude. We are not the saviors.
There's just something you said, Maurizio, that which I wanted to zero in on. You said that it's something that we do, before we go. I know you didn't say exactly that, but the idea is like I don't think we know exactly when we're going to be in a position to witness. Like I could meet somebody on the bus stop, and bingo, something happens, and the doors are open, and I maybe I didn't pray 10 minutes before, but I prayed earlier that day or whatever, and I'm ready. So it's the idea of because that's what I used to have, the idea of I'm now gonna go and witness, and that was really stupid actually, because compartmentalized that right now I'm eating my lunch, and after or whatever, I'm going to, go shopping, and then I'm going to go witnessing. Well, shopping can be witnessing it depending on who you bump into at the, at the checkout, So I think you were saying this in weeks past, and it's a lifestyle. It's a mindset really that you have. It's not, now I'm going to be witnessing. No, wrong. You miss it.
It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. So, and that can come anytime, anywhere, any place, because if you see, the thing is, you are open and responsive to the situation that is at hand. And you believe that because you are available and God has provided it, you can go ahead and do it rather than force the issue. And that doesn't mean that, if you go and say, I'm going to, you can do whatever you want. But, the thing is, most of the opportunities will, you can create the opportunities. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, for example, if you make a list of people that you have come in contact to influence generally, then you work on them and you set up things for meeting with them. And you organize things, but they are going to be, you are not generally, anything can happen. You can have specific instruction, but, in some most of the cases, the conversation will come up. And maybe that you didn't even plan anything to do that day, but you meet them on the street or they call you up for another reason. And then the conversation goes on. And it becomes a spiritual conversation in which you end up ministering to them. Okay. So, the idea is that you can plan, organize, think about it, be prepared, but at the same time, you know, you're going to have opportunities that you didn't expect. The point is, when this opportunity comes, don't blow them. Okay? I mean, if it's a person that you never met before, don't just let them go. And then when it's working well, you say, well, you know, the Lord is going to take care of it. No, the Lord has given you an opportunity to minister to them. Get their phone number. Give them your phone number. Follow up. Try to follow up at least. If it really worked well, if it really was the Holy Spirit, that's going to be profitable. It's going to work out. So, but most of the ministry that you should be doing is with people that actually you are in relationship one way or another. And there are different levels of relationship. You know, it could be just somebody that you meet once in a while, or somebody that you know, somebody that you knew a long time ago, or whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay? The point is give you opportunity to do repeated ministry, and you start actually discipling them even before they come to the Lord. Anybody else? Any other?
Yeah, Pastor, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the enemy does not like it when we try to minister to people. I've been trying to minister to Jeanette for a while, and each time we plan, something happened. It's been 4 weeks like this.
Are you praying against that?
No, I don't think I prayed against that.
Okay.
I prayed for the Lord. I made commitments with her.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I understand. But, you know, the scripture said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Now, the principalities and power can work on her so that she finds excuses. Okay, so you pray and you work against those things. That I haven't gone through the prayer part yet, but you know, we're going to see different type of prayers, different approach of prayer and so on. But here you pray that the Lord, you know, stops all the interferences and minister to them and create the opportunities. That's another thing we pray about it. Okay, we're going to see if we have time tonight. Paul talking about these things. But yes, okay, the enemy doesn't like you or anybody else or the person, so you're going to put events. I mean, you bring people to the Lord, they had to come to church, invited to church, that's the time when, you know, the only time in their life in which they have a flat tire. Or it's going to snow like crazy so that nobody can go. I mean, that happens all the time. Okay, so yes, they do these kind of tricks. But we have our own tricks, okay? And our tricks is really that not tricks, is just praying and exercising the faith and the power and, you know, claiming victory and believing that God is working it out. But prayer is essential for us to get anywhere, you know, to block resistance, to block, you know, thoughts and ideas of the other people, block our own thoughts and ideas, looking at the flesh instead of looking things in the spiritual point of view. I mean, there are lots of things. So, you know, prayer makes us more filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what we need.
Thank you.
Well, okay, so anybody else? Any other things? So,
can you hear me, Pastor Marcio?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say thank you so much about mentioning about prayer, because I think sometimes I've forgotten about that. And but today has been a very eventful day, because when I was coming in from being out, a lady in the apartment building held open the door for me, who used to live on my floor. And I said, how are you doing? She goes, oh, I sprained my arm last week. I fell. And I said, oh. And then I just said, she's holding the door open for me. And then I just said, do you mind if I pray for your arm? And she goes, oh, no, thank you. And so I prayed for her. And then later on today, my girlfriend's daughter called me. And she's been calling me about every couple of weeks and to talk about her life. And she's very self-focused and very negative. And trying to witness to her today, it was like she went back to things so far about why does God allow all these things to happen to her. And there's nothing positive in her outlook at all.
Yeah.
She can't see anything positive. And I said to her, you know, you and your mother could be best friends. And she says, oh, my mother and I will never be best friends. And if my girlfriend ever heard her say that, I mean, that would break her heart. But she's just, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you have to say, because I think maybe I was a little bit too strong with her, because last week I called my girlfriend, her mother, and she said, I'm so glad you called me. She said, I didn't know what to do. She said, you just called at the right time. And she was talking to her daughter, and her daughter went on this kind of the same way with her. And she said, I came to a point and I said to her, I am sorry. I am not going to listen to this conversation again. And the problem is that Louise's son died. Her brother, Louise, my girlfriend, her son died 2 years ago. And he died of alcoholic poisoning. And now her daughter has started drinking. And she said to her, I can't go through this for the second time. If you want to throw away your life doing that kind of thing, she says, I can't do it. So she hung up on her daughter, since I've talked to her yesterday, she's made amends with her daughter. Anyways, to make a long story short, I don't know if I hung up on Christine today or she hung up on me, but I tried calling her back and she wouldn't pick up the phone. So I...
Yeah, well, that's okay. We don't always do the best thing, and we are human too. So that's... definitely something that we had to realize, and we had to look at things not in the physical but in the spiritual, and to know how to do in that particular situation. One of the things that we had to learn to do is to break the pattern, and that may be a difficult thing to do when we haven't done that, but I think we can learn to break that pattern and to be able to share things in a level in which they can accept it. Now, it's difficult, and we had to pray for them. And, you know, if we don't know what to do, we say, look, you know, we are going to, it's no use to be talking this way because we are not going to get anywhere. I'm going to pray for you. And you hang up for her. And so you pray for her, and you pray that, you know, that spirit of depression, you know, and you can tell her that even that, you know, you have depression, you're depressed, and the thought, the enemy is trying to push you around. And, you know, I'm going to pray that this is going to stop. Okay.
Actually, you're right, because Louise said to me, she says, I think my daughter has a chemical imbalance, but she's never really been, I'm not sure if she's on any Medicaid. I don't think she is, but I guess just the way. Yeah. So
the thing is,
you know,
you cannot, do everything. What you can do is to minister to her and find a way to go through the cracks that she has in terms of be able to, for her to listen, because evidently she has a lot of wrong thinking, and the wrong thinking produces wrong result. So, you know, one of the things we had to learn to do, you know, first of all, you had to see some cases are maybe too difficult for us to handle. And so, yeah. You know, we shouldn't try to handle it because they, you know, overwhelm us, so we make us do the wrong thing. What we have to do is just to keep praying for them until something breaks.
Yeah.
Okay? And things, see, the wrong time to minister messes up instead of improving things.
Yeah.
We cannot force our way all the time into somebody's position when they are so set there. Okay. So we need to, in that case, you know, realize that and wait for the opportunity. But in the meantime, we can pray for them. And that may change slightly the situation to create the opportunity. Sometimes this opportunity comes in a way that is the opposite of what we believe. Instead of, yeah. You know, getting better, they get so bad that they realize that they need some help. So you don't know. You don't know the way God can work it out. God can, is certainly bigger than the demons that these people have. And we have to understand that we should not be controlled or influenced by their demons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when we see that that's happening, that we cannot handle it, then we have to find an exit.
Okay.
And possibly do it in a good way instead of a bad way. You know, in a way that leaves an open door, and the way in which they see that we care about them, because that's what the bottom line is. You know, if we show that we care about them, then you know, they can believe that God cares for them too.
She remembered something that I said to her when she was little, that all God will only give her as much as she can handle.
Yeah.
But the way the conversation went today, and then I just think...
it's not just God. There's a part that she plays too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If she makes some wrong decisions, there are consequences of the wrong decisions. So... she has to try to think right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. But there are situations that I believe are very difficult. And I think in those cases, you know, we have to have the wisdom to know what to do and what we cannot do and what we cannot do. Okay. But the things that we have to try to avoid is to make it worse instead of make it better.
Yeah, and I don't know if I made it worse or whatever.
Well,
all I knew was
everybody can make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, you know, we always have to have an attitude of humility and an attitude of compassion. And if we can keep that and the fact that we care, then that even if it appears that we get nowhere, you know, that has an impact.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, some cases are really difficult because they do not have the proper exposure. See, this is why it becomes critical in those cases, that there is discipleship and not just trying to, you know, get them to say a prayer.
Right.
Okay. There is a work that needs to be done, so we had to start breaking those patterns of wrong thinking, change it to right thinking, and you know, move them toward, you know, receiving more, receiving the Lord, and so that the process starts, and then there is a lifetime and process of growing, and mm-hmm. You know, if we started the process, we are responsible to continue. If we have been parenting somebody into the kingdom, we are the one that should at least initially, not just by ourselves, but with help of others, be able to continue to work on them, because they are, you know, they recognize us as parents, and parents should care for their children.
I kind of feel that way with.
That's okay. That's okay. Parents not always do the right thing. I also.
Yeah.
So, you know, the point is, that doesn't matter. You see, I mean, we can learn from our mistake. That's an important thing. Okay. And, you know, we all did mistakes. I made lots of mistakes myself, but I make them fewer now because of the mistakes I made before. So I know more when to get quiet and shut up instead of saying things that are more damaging than good. Okay, so, but everybody has to learn those things. Okay.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, you have to see all the elements, you know, and the enemy uses a point of weakness to do that on us. So we have to recognize that. And as we deal with those things, we grow. That's another way in which we grow.
Mm-hmm.
We realize what we can do and we cannot do. We realize the things, you know, what not to do, because that's just as important to know what to do. Okay, so that's right. Yeah. But, you know, but you gave an example at the beginning that it's a good example, okay, you know, turning a normal conversation into a spiritual ministry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that start talking about the problem, the sicknesses, or the things, okay, we can, you know, ask questions about them, show them that we are interested. Okay, people, when we see that they're interested about them, they see that we care about them. They have to see that we care about them. And then, you know, we can pray for them. And that by itself, and depending on how we pray and, you know, the results of our prayer and the impact that our prayer has, you know, depending, you have to pray in a way that they can can understand, that is not too difficult for them to grasp what we are saying, but they minister to them. And so our prayer that we do with them becomes actually ministry, because we are actually saying things and they are listening. And we should be talking about things that they need, so that relates to them. But that is a good way to shift from a normal conversation with somebody to, you know, a need, a physical sickness, a transition, you know, like, for example, you know, somebody that has an exam or something like that, and they are fearful, or they are in a position in which they are uncomfortable in any way or form, maybe that's an opening for, you know, moving into the right thing. And most of the times, if we do it right, they say yes.
Amen. I know with my brother's family, I pray often for them, and he will call us and he say, could you pray for the girls? They got a swimming thing this, they got a swimming thing that.
Yeah.
And the other day, I was standing in the kitchen and I needed more cornstarch, and there's a really shortage of cornstarch. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I need more cornstarch because I can't do my shortbread cookies unless I have that cornstarch. And I said, if you want me to make some more cornstarch cookies, I said, I need that. I need you to drop that cornstarch in my corner or something. I said like that. And yeah. I said, I really appreciate it if you could do that. And I'm thinking if George Mueller could do that for everything he prayed in, why can't I? So I'm busy doing some of the other cookies, and all of a sudden the phone rang, and I looked and it was the front door of the building. but I lost the connection. So I threw the phone to Chantel. I said, if that person calls back, I said, find out who it is and let them in. I'm going to run to the front door and see who it is. So when I got to my front door, there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and my brother says, here's the cornstarch from Costco. And I said, you know what? I said, a half hour ago, I prayed to the Lord for a thing of cornstarch. And he says, I don't know. I was in Costco again, because he told me he looked at Costco. It was all sold out. He couldn't find it. He was in the Costco on Blair Road. He said, I went in there and I saw about 10 of them. So he said, I grabbed two, one for you and one for me. And here he showed up, and I said, well, God answered my prayer. I said, here, you are the one, you know. And then I shared with Christina.
See, that is a good example of a witness to somebody that in need or something. Okay.
I know, that's a
witness. You see, I want to show that this can bring, you know, a personal need of somebody, okay, that is a silly need, you know, like cornstarch is not a big deal. Okay. So most of the people say, oh, you don't pray for cornstarch. You know, why not? Okay. The thing is, this is an example in which God moved, okay, to provide your cornstarch. And so, you know, when somebody, it doesn't mean everybody that needs cornstarch, you go and share it to them. No, anybody that needs something that is like your cornstarch, not a big thing, okay, you can say, oh, look, God cares about us, and even look after, you know, that's what he did for me. And you know, that what you do, you give praises to the Lord. See, well, that's what witnessing is giving praises to the Lord for what he has done in an area that evidently, you know, he moved in, or at least you believe that he moved in. Okay? So in that way, what you do is praise the Lord, and they can't say anything. Okay? Even if they don't believe it. The point is, when they meet you, and, you know, once in a while you come out with a statement like that, they start scratching their head and says, you know, wait a minute, you know, there must be something here.
And that's like Christine, I shared that with her on the phone today. It was like, she said, well, that could be a coincidence. I said, it isn't.
It's all the time a coincidence, when I sure it's a coincidence. It's a God's incidence, because he does it all the time. You know, it's not just a coincidence, you know, that just happens like that. I was praying, it happened in, you know, the day before. I was praying to find this. The Lord told me where it was. I went there, you know, and I found it. You know, and after I went for a day or two, I was looking for it, and then when the Lord told me, I found it immediately. That's another coincidence. Another coincidence, you know, it's, well, then you can start making a list. But if you, you know, do what I said, you know, you keep a diary of your different testimony or witnesses, then you have an arsenal of weapons just to throw at the people, and they can't say anything. Okay? There is one coincidence can happen, but when 10 crazy coincidences happen, you know, well, you know, it's not just crazy. It's just that it's not coincidence. Yeah. It's the result of prayer. Prayer works. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
So, you know, from there you start expanding and going a bit deeper, okay, in some other area to just show the way God cares about us.
Amen.
And the way that appears in the world is because the world is messy, and the world, man made it messed up, and is full of evil forces operating in it. And people are unprotected. If they don't want these things to happen, they have to be closer to God, because he puts the edge of protection around us. And that becomes another area in which we can expand our ministry to them, you know, to show the way God works with us. Instead of, you know, this is not theology, this is simple, practical life experience. And that, you know, just simply by witnessing our experience, we actually teach the best theology that we can. That's good. This is really the way that actually we deal with situations and things that we can do and we should do or whatever. We learn by doing. Anybody else has anything? Or
This woman at my workplace, I prayed for her before in the past. And I mean, it was really quick prayer because it was the end of our break. So she mentioned that she's flying to Mexico on Saturday morning. And I'm thinking about the weather. And I said, I'm not, she's maybe she was a bit, perhaps maybe worried of not making it. So I says, she says, oh, I hope God can pray for me to, I said, yeah, yeah. And I kind of got close to her and I says, yeah, may the Lord help you to make your trip safely. And that was it. And I hope that encouraged her, the fact I, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, you know. Sometimes giving the scriptures reinforce the idea that goes with them, you know, because there's power in the word. That's what we do. You see, we use.
The thing is,
it doesn't matter. The idea is that we becomes, you know, and to make it even stronger, it's just if we have a little testimony to add to it, that makes really, you know, put the icing on the cake.
Oh yeah, but we didn't have time because of break.
No, I know, but that I'm saying, you know, work, eh, when the opportunity comes,
that's okay, I gotta prepare for that.
Yeah, but even, you know, the thing is, generally, we are not prepared.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or in 10 minutes from now.
Problem is, I don't know what to say. That's the thing.
Yeah, but that's where we ask the Holy Spirit. And if we are open to the Holy Spirit, if we are not caught up in the flesh on the moment, but we are in the Holy Spirit, and we ask, not aloud, silently within ourselves, you know, for direction, for a word, for something, you know, sometime just a little idea comes and that changes the whole situation. And that is his work.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we see. That's one of the major things that we experience as we start doing what I'm talking about, this witnessing in the spirit rather than outreach in the flesh.
Right.
Okay. We ask the Holy Spirit input in the whole process, and we are willing to follow up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. I think that you know what I want to make sure is that you know you start making the list of the people that you are in contact with, different level. I'm talking about not you. I'm talking about everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that you have some names there on a piece of paper that you look at, and you change your list as it goes, and you start asking for praying for them daily, for direction, looking at them, asking, you know, what's happening there, and notice things, notice needs, notice area of need, notice problems, notice whatever things, transitions, you know, that's the type of stuff that you look at the areas in which, you know, they have problems, and that is, you know, or, you know, areas in which, for example, there are changes in their life. That's a super, you know, great time to minister to them, you know, and because generally at those times they are open, more open anyway, unless they're really in complete rebellion against or mad with God. But even then, if we can do it the right way, you know, and they even reject it, what you can do is always show that you care and God cares. And that by itself, as a result, even if they don't like to pray for them. See, your attitude and your response makes all the difference. So, let me see here. The thing is, the focus you have to have is not them physically, their reaction, their position is spiritually where they're at. And deal with that. Okay. So that is what I was trying to work on last week, you know, on witnessing in the spirit. Okay. And the more copies, you know, anybody is writing little witnesses story, even if positive or negative, doesn't matter. If the negative, you can learn lessons. Just write down stuff. Anybody is doing it, any of that? 1, 2, 3, good. Okay, so, yeah. Well, encourage more to do it. Okay. Let me see.
Marcio, I can share something.
Sure, go ahead.
I think about 6 months ago, we prayed for a friend of mine who is having heart issues. She has AFib, which your heart goes really fast.
Okay.
Anyways, I think we prayed for her quite a while ago on this meeting.
Yeah.
So I see her regularly because we swim together and I pick her up to drive her. So I told her we're going to pray for you and, you know, I believe the Lord's going to heal you. And just last week she had to wear a blood pressure monitor for a day just to see how things were. And so she did that and then she got the results and it was perfect. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily indicate that she's all better, but it's a good sign. So I said, oh, look, God is working, you know, that's the power of prayer. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep ministering to her.
Yeah.
Keep repeating it to her because she needs to think about it the right way. You know, she can think, well, you know, just coincidence. Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can just say, you know, the Lord is good. Or just dealing directly or directly, you know, it's good that you feel that way. You know, yes, you can be grateful to God that you know, the thing is getting better.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the way it works generally. So good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, those stories, those are good stories that they had to, you know, often we forget. And it's too bad because they empower us. Okay. So,
I have a story, Pastor, also I could share. Mm-hmm. I prayed for a friend of mine, Zian, who has been having a problem with her eye. She went to the Eye Institute and they discovered she had sort of a form of a tumor behind her eye and that eventually she would lose her sight. They said about 3 years. So I asked her if I could pray for her. Well, that started last year.
Yeah.
And during the summer, again, she went for another exam. And then they discovered that it was gone. They said, we don't see it anymore. So she called me and she said, after 3 years of this, they cannot see it anymore. It's gone. And I said, well, thank the Lord. You know, we've been praying for you. And she replied, she said, well, I've been doing some Reiki on my eyes.
Oh, God.
And I think it's the Reiki. And I said, well,
why is the Reiki? And not the prayer.
Well, this is it. So I said to her, well, I believe it's the Lord that did that. You can, you know, if you want to believe that it's your Reiki, you know, it's your thing, but I believe it's the Lord. I
mean, God
exactly,
or the Reiki
Lord.
Master.
So she's fine. She's been healed. She's been really, she said, I won't be able to drive. I'm going to lose my sight. And amazing. I thank the Lord, but It just her thinking wasn't too, you know, what she knows.
Doesn't that? That's all you know. That's her ignorance. Doesn't know that Reiki is actually, you know, a form of occult that is demonic and is not from God.
So, amen.
But they're too ignorant to know the real thing.
And I was, you know, so pleased to see that. For me, it was good for my faith because it took a while. You know, it was not a sudden thing. It was within a good 8 to 10 months. But the Lord healed her.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. So what was I? So what walking in the spirit, you know, really, you know, the idea is that God, one of the major ideas, you know, God works on each person all the time. And, you know, the fact that Jesus left and went to heaven doesn't mean that he doesn't keep ministering to us. Okay? We can see it in the Bible. For example, I was, you know, sharing as Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were in the room and ministered to them, you know, and said, "Peace I give to you, you know, to you. As the Father sent me, I send you." So, you know, he just continued to minister. Before I was telling them to go, okay? And he said, you know, give him the Great Commission. Now, you know, he repeats the Great Commission. He reinforces the Great Commission, okay? When he appears as now a resurrected Christ. So, you know, even that, he continues to do it. You know, he said, you know, at that time, you know, receive you the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the idea is that and at that time they received the Holy Spirit, but they didn't receive the whole thing. They were just received the Holy Spirit, but they were not baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism came later on. But you know, he kept doing that with a lot of people for all this period of time before he was ascended. Okay. He kept ministering and teaching them and working on them even after he was resurrected. Okay. Well, nothing has changed. He keeps doing the same even today. Okay. He was gone up already. And what did he do? He met with Paul and ministered to Paul and taught God, Paul, after for a while. He was already in heaven, but he just didn't stop him from meeting with him personally. What's the difference between what he did with the disciples and what he did with Paul? I mean, if you think about the revelation that he gave to Paul, starting from scratch, because he wasn't present when he was teaching this stuff before. And the understanding that Paul got by direct ministry from Jesus himself, that's what he says, after he was resurrected, and after he even went to heaven. What's happening today? How many people are seeing Jesus today and brought to the Lord that are really, you know, from Muslim background or any other religious background, and they are converted. So the same work that was, you know, there is actually no difference whatsoever between before Jesus was down here and now. Now he's even better because he is there when he's really, the situation is for him to minister. And he doesn't, you know, we help him in a way when we minister to people because, you know, we carry most of the work. But when, in some cases, when there is no other possibility, he intervenes himself. That shows how much he cares about it because to the point of, you know, going there and ministering to people himself, I don't think what anybody can do more than that, showing that he cares about these people. Okay. So, that should, I think, show us how much he cares, and should, you know, produce an effect on us in terms of what, how much we should care. Don't you think? So, now, the only thing is for us to learn to be obedient, to learn to listen, okay, to understand, okay, how to operate, you know, what, you know, how to go about doing it, how to, who to do with, how to do it, so that we, you know, do it the right way. But we have to learn that. You know, the only way to learn something like that is actually to do it and to learn in the process and maybe to you know, get help from others that they know how to do it. Okay. The thing is, you know, when you do that, you're coming against the status quo. It's come against the status quo within yourself, because there's going to be resistance within yourself about doing something like that, because, you know, your flesh is not going to like it. Your spirit wants it, but your flesh is not going to like it. And you got flesh. There is no way. Everybody does. So your flesh is not going to like it. Your spirit wants it. The Holy Spirit wants it. Jesus wants it. So, you know, there is a struggle there going on. And this is why you have to realize what are the hindrances for you to do it and to deal with those things. Or what are the other problems, okay, that you have that produce resistance in doing it properly. And that is going to produce, you know, a change. And that's part of the things you're going to receive from God as you are praying. You have to see what are the hindrances for you to be able to do it freely and to be able to do it the right way. Okay. One of the things, you know, identify specific needs of people and try to address them. And, you know, that doesn't mean you don't identify specifically, talk about making a spiritual walk, talk. You just have to connect with them. Transitions in their life that are always involved fear, involved uncertainty, okay? Things that, thinking that they have and that they have to change. You know, it's not a question of saying, oh, well, your thinking is wrong. Well, nobody's going to listen to you. But what you can do is to shift the argument so that they start seeing things from a different perspective. Change the framework. Change the frame of their situation. Okay. So, they had to come to realize that in the Lord, they can overcome the obstacles in their life, the problems in their life. That God wants to help them that way. Okay. You know, just to talk about another situation. Even after Jesus was, you know, I mean, Jesus gave the Great Commission before he died. Okay? You can see it in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, and so on. Now, after he died, you say the disciples were taking it seriously, they were thinking about it. There is absolutely no evidence of that. There is evidence of the opposite. they were not really seriously considering anything about our reach. First of all, they were scared. Second, they just didn't even think about it. See, although they had received the Holy Spirit, there was not the motivation and the power to do it. Just after, in John chapter 21, says very clearly, this is the last chapter there, Jesus was already resurrected. And it says, verse 3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. That's what he was doing before. That's what he was doing now. Okay. And they said to him, we are going fishing with you also. They went and immediately got into the boats. And the night they got nothing. Okay. So when you do things according to your own idea, generally don't get anywhere. And then you wonder why. That's a good indication. You see, when you're wasting your time, you're wasting your time. And if you listen to God, then you're going to be effective. So, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. See, they didn't even think. Even when they saw him, he was resurrected, they didn't got into the room by itself. They didn't. It took quite some time for them to believe. And you wonder how much they really believed it. Because afterwards, there was not any much of a change. Okay. And they know it was Jesus. But Jesus said to the children, have you any food? And they said, no. Okay. So he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. I mean, that's kind of a strange statement, wouldn't you say? I mean, the guy was not fishing. He wasn't there. They've been fishing all night. And somebody tells you, from far away, they all heard him. They all saw him. He was right on the side of the water there and was talking to them and telling what to do. I mean, that, to me, I would have got, I don't know, maybe I was just as dumb as they were, but the point is what I'm saying is they should have kind of got a bit of the idea that I was the Lord. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. See, just one of them picked it up because it was John. That's why he was in a different frame of mind on the modern body. Now Simon Peter said that earlier it was the Lord. He put on to the other garment and he ran and the garment and he removed it and plunged into the sea. So that's what happened. But the other disciple came in the little boat, for they were not far on the land, but about 200 cubits. Dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there and fish laid in it and bread. So, Jesus was resurrected. Instead, he made the fire there, put the fish there, put everything there already. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. He was always using the stuff that they had already. And Simon Peter went out and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. Okay. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of them, the disciples, dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that this was the Lord. And so Jesus came and looked at the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. So usually it looks like almost the last summer, if not prayer. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So that showed that he was ministering to them, trying to get across to them. There was no difference whatsoever between before and now. Actually, now he was able to move much better and faster, and he could minister to them and continue to minister to them. So the idea you know, he's going to help you to minister to people because he wants to minister to people and you are the channel according to which he is going to do it. Okay. See, but prayer is what is going to, see, they weren't really, evidently, I'm praying too much, but they weren't doing it that yet. They were doing it later on. But they were doing fishing instead of praying, instead of preparing, instead of doing what Jesus told them to do. And they didn't do any of that until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That shows the difference the Holy Spirit makes in our attitude, in our action, our behavior, and everything else. Okay. You know, Paul said something that I really... Oh, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, where it talks about being born of the, you know, the Spirit. And verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. See, the connection with him is going to be not according to the flesh, but according to our spirit. Our spirit is going to produce the result and the connection with him. And that happens today as, you know, we start with our prayer. It says that go and continue. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is nothing else than outreach. Okay? And has given us that. It's talking about, Paul is talking about us, talking about each one of us. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That means everybody. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. So that's the idea. See, we had to get across the idea that they are, you know, they had to be reconciled to God. And they may not realize because of ignorance that they aren't. Okay. Now then, we are ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. See, this is the attitude Paul had. And continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So you see, that's the way, the thing I wanted to emphasize here. You know, that Paul continued in prayer, being vigilant in thanksgiving, not looking at people in the flesh, but looking at people in the spirit. Okay? And he was earnestly praying for people, for them. And, you know, as I said before, here is, to be reconciled. Okay, with Christ as given in the ministry of reconciliation. So, and then goes on, for example, you know, the things I just finished reading was actually from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chain. See, the time he manifested as I ought to speak. So the idea is this, okay, that he was praying earnestly, okay, for others, for people, to get to the place and to understand. But he was saying, you know, to pray for me also, that God would open the door for the world. That means, you know, that he has the opportunity to share the word with people. And when he was talking about that, okay, and that to show really the way, the mystery of Christ, you know, what he has produced for us, okay. But says, you know, verse 5, Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So you see, you have to be walking in wisdom, not just, say anything, but, understand what we should share with them so that they can be brought in as well. Okay. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer each one. So you have to know how to answer, how to talk to people, okay? But always be, with grace. You know, and with grace, it just means that you're nice to them. You know, you have to extend grace to them, God's grace to them, so that they realize what, the needs are. But this is, that's the important part of the attitude that we should have in Paul in reaching out to the world. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to expand a bit more on that later on. Oh my goodness. Okay, it's interesting that Paul was not sent to minister to the Jews. But everywhere he went, he ministered to the Jews and got in trouble for them. He got more opposition from the Jews and more trouble from the Jews than from anybody else. You say, why did he bother to witness to the Jews when God sent him to minister to the Gentiles? Because that was his ministry. That's something interesting to think about. Because all the trouble that he had, he was getting it from the Jews. Evidently, he wasn't looking for the easy solution for himself. He was looking to minister to people that he thought that possibly there was nobody who would be open to hear the message of the gospel if there was not somebody like him that could speak their language. So he took on himself. That wasn't something that God gave him to do, but because of compassion, he reached out to the Jews, so because he could speak their language, he could speak, he could minister in Hebrew, and he could know all their ideas, their jargon, and argue with them on the truth. Essentially, he was, in a way, looking for trouble because they were the one who were really most adamant against Christianity, not the other people. Anyway, I think I ran over time. You see what was happening there. Now, Paul took to his heart to minister to anybody that needed it. Okay. He didn't have preferences from one or the other. He actually had was trying to get everybody else not to follow the Jewish religion, if you want, but to open up to Christianity, because he understood it clearly what the difference were. He could minister to the Pharisees very effectively. And in some cases, if they were open, there would be, a number of them who accepted. Okay. So even if the result were in some cases negative, even if God rejected, even if we got in trouble for it, he did it because he cared about them. That wasn't really his mission. His mission was to bring the gospel to the Gentile. That's what God said in prophecy, you know, to him. Anyway, for now, I think we close. But any more questions or anything that we can bring up? Do you get anything tonight?
Yes, Pastor.
I think it's important that you start applying some of the things if you want to see the, you know, the impact. Develop. You pray for other things. Pray for these two. Pray for that, for direction, and develop. Start developing a list of people, a bit of a plan. We start to identify, you know, the needs, the characteristics, the things, you know, the contact point and everything else. You know, because the way you're going to get in touch with people is by seeing point of contact or point of in which you, you know, can share and can minister to them. Just not even in spiritually, you know, area similarities, you know, common interests, whatever. You know, if somebody is living in the same building you are living, maybe the common interest, the building that you are in. Well, that's fine. That's good enough. Okay? You can start talking from there, and then from there you can, things develop. And yet to learn to shift gear when the opportunity comes up. Okay. So any question or anything, or should we close or whatever?